go into that here in just a little bit, but it shows our interaction with other people and our doing for the good or for the edification of other people. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And this is just an absolute fact of sowing and reaping. The day you put the seed into the ground is not the day that you reap the harvest. There are months in between. Just in the natural illustration of that, you plant the corn in the springtime and you don't reap it until the fall. There's a season there. There are months there. Likewise, we are sowing in our lives now, but the real harvest is not going to come until we're home with the Lord in glory. So in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But that is key. If we faint not, we cannot give in to the distractions and the weaknesses and all of these things of the things that we go through in our lives today. Now then, verse 10, he applies it. As we therefore have opportunity. Now there is no lack of opportunity today, but we really do have to put it in context. We really do have to put it in perspective. If you're like I am, you have telephone calls and little old cute flyers in the mail. You're just inundated with that, just day after day. People needing and wanting money for good causes. On the TV and all of this, and they act like that you are just the most terrible person unless you just call right now and commit yourself for all of this money and so forth. Here is where that we really have to believe God as to whether this is an opportunity for us. Because all of these that we hear about today on radio, TV, telephone, in the mail, I do not believe all of these are actually opportunities that are brought to us by God. I believe that the real opportunities are those that are close to us. Those that are, that we really are in close proximity to. We may be led of the Lord to support some little child overseas or something like that. There's not a thing in the world wrong with that. We do that. But I want to notice here, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. But notice this, especially unto them who are the household of faith. We have to put our monies in perspective. We have stated before that our first responsibility is unto God. He gets the first fruit. And then a man's family. They are the ones that must receive the bounty, the needs that are due them. And then the third thing is right here. We do good, but especially those of the household of faith. We must help Christians ahead of sinners. Now, the world won't tell you that, and many religious organizations won't tell you that. Oh, no, we got to go out and get the sinner. We got to go out and win the world. We got to feed the world all around, no matter what their spiritual condition. That really is not right. The Christians take the precedent over the world, and then after that, do good unto all men. So if there's any left, then we can have make it to all men. Verse 11, Paul says, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand." What he means here is the size of the letter. It's not the length of this epistle. It's the size of the characters. And the reason he did that is because that his eyesight was so bad. And so he had to write very large in order to see it. I personally, once again, believe this was the major part of his thorn in the flesh. In chapter 3:15. But at any rate, in Corinthians there. But here, he makes mention of it in his eyes in chapter 3:15, but his thorn in the flesh there in 2 Corinthians. As many as you see how large letter I've written to you with my own hand. Then verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Paul still tells them, you have those that are trying to put you under the law. And it is not according to Scripture. It is not according to divine grace. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. If we preach only Christ, I guarantee you we will suffer persecution. See, law-keeping doesn't suffer persecution, but preaching Christ and His cross will. And Paul reiterates that more than once in this book. Verse 13, he says, neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. And we must not glory in the flesh, whether it be ourselves or someone else. And so law keepers only glory in people's flesh. Verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he reiterates once again, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul did not cut himself off from the world by the law, nor cut the world off from him by the law. Only Christ and Him crucified can separate us from the world and the world from us. That's because when we are circumcised in the manner that Paul describes there in Colossians, it is the change that occurs in us. Not going to be a change in the world. The change happens in us, where we are crucified. We feel alienated from the world, and they are certainly alienated from us because of the work that God has done in our lives. Verse 16, as many as walk according to this rule. The rule he's talking about is the rule of verse 15. Being crucified to the world and the world unto us by the crucifixion of Christ. As many as walk by this rule, peace be on them. And mercy, or grace, and upon the Israel of God. And it is peace that results when we let God cut us off from this world and the world cut off from us. And then mercy. That is the abundance of the grace of God we desperately need in our lives and experience. From henceforth let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. That's that persecution that he bore because, directly because, he preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. You'll notice it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, not law. Because you're not going to be comforted by the law, but the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ can most assuredly comfort you. Be with your spirit, because grace will build up or edify our spirit and make us strong in spirit before Him. And that concludes our study in Galatians. Any questions before we dismiss for this evening? Do what?
What does it mean, the burden in verse 5?
The burden in verse 5? It just means something to be borne or carried. There's no reference to the weight of it at all. Just a load.
What were the first three of the seven divine graces
for? Okay, the first one is he restores. Second one is in a spirit of meekness. The third one is consider our own weakness.
Down that number seven, where every man should bear his own burden.
Yes.
Would that be more his responsibility?
Yes, that's the responsibilities actually that God has given to him. See, and so God, there are certain burdens that God gives to us. And just like that we've heard, take up your cross and follow me. Well, Jesus had his cross and nobody could help him with it. See, that was for him. And there are certain burdens that God has given to us, and He's given us the grace to do it too. So every man shall bear his own burden. No one can help you with that. That's something that God gave.
In verse 7 and 8, the first part is the giving to others, right?
It goes with verse 6 where he gives the admonition, let him that is taught in the word communicate or give to him that teaches. Then be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man sows. That's the sowing that he's talking about. Verse 6 is the sowing that he's talking about in verse 7.
Then 8 would kind of be like, it goes with 7.
Yes, it does. It's a continuation of verse 7, that the one that sows to the flesh. And invariably that's true, that if a person doesn't sow, communicate where the money should go, well, then he'll sow it to his own flesh. And that's something that's true of anything. If God so often God will give people money, we'll just say, for example, God will give money to people to pay the gas bill. Well, if they don't pay the gas bill, they spend it on their own flesh. What happens? The gas bill ain't paid, and people still owe, and then they're in debt, and then they're hollering and crying, I don't have money to pay my gas bill. The reason they don't have money to pay the gas bill is because they spent the money on the flesh rather than where it should go. And so that really is a principle that if we spend money on something other than what it was intended, well, then we're more than likely going to be sowing to the flesh with it.
Could it also be like as in sin, like sowing to the
flesh? Yes.
Right.
Yes. I wanted to bring out the exact context of it in relation to money, but the principle applies. If you sow to the flesh, sin and immorality and all that, yeah, you're going to reap the harvest of it. And we've seen that. And people have more trouble than they can handle, whenever that happens. And we're seeing it more and more. I know it's been here all along. I heard my own parents talk about it, but oh my, I don't know. I just don't know that we've ever been inundated with the immorality and ungodliness the way that we are today, the way people are sowing to the flesh and the way that we're seeing them reap the harvest of it too.
I'm not guilty. Feel guilty about it.
That's one part that really disturbs me, is that there's it seems to me that there's no such thing as sin in this world anymore. There's nothing to feel guilty about anymore. And it just drives me up the wall.
In this country, I remember growing up, we could have prayer in schools, and we were a pretty good country. I'll be 48 years old when growing up. But I would hate to be a child growing up in school.
Oh, mercy, yes. That's true.
It's a lot different.
That is true. There's that email that's gone around, the different things that have happened in this country. And that was one of them, taking prayer out of schools, and we said okay. And then talking about the things that have happened directly in our schools since they did that. But, there's no correlation.
I think it was Ruth Graham. They said something to Ruth Graham about after 9/11. Why did God allow this, And she said,